Hi, Swirl and Sip listeners. Before we get to the episode, Sheree and I want to take a moment to address the June 24th, 2022 Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. This decision stripped away the right to have a safe and legal abortion. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. To those most impacted, under-resourced women and pregnant people, women of color, members of the LGBTQ community, we see you and we stand by your side and we will not give up. We believe that we have a responsibility to use our platforms to speak out against this injustice whenever and wherever we are to witness it. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortions, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. In creating digital media like our podcast, we have built audiences that return week after week to hear our voices, and we will use our voices to speak against those that wish to control our bodies and our futures. And we encourage our audience to be educated, engaged, and to take action. You can learn more by visiting podvoices.help. If you're able to support others, please consider donating to abortion funds. We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So we like to start each episode, of course, with what we are sipping on. And y'all know I made a promise to Sheree a couple of weeks ago that I would make sure I would not have a red. I would try to throw in a white before the season ended. And I feel like I've gone one step further because today I am drinking on Ménage à Trois, their sweet collection. Y'all know I don't even like sweet wine. But I'm sipping on their sweet collection. It's called Hot Pink Sweet Rosé Blend. So this one is purely for y'all, you guys. That is what I'm sipping on today. And Devin is joining us for our last episode, for her last episode of the season. It's not the last episode of the season, but it's her last episode. And she is drinking on a can wine. And I think I've only ever had one can wine. I don't think it was bad, though. But she is drinking on Old Westminster Carbonic, which is, what kind of wine is it, Devin?
It's a red wine. It's a Cab Franc.
Oh, okay. So it's a lighter red wine. Yeah. So that's it. Hers comes in a can. So the Ménage à Trois one, we've had Ménage à Trois before on the show. I like Ménage à Trois brand in general. They're relatively inexpensive and they taste good. But I'm drinking on the Hot Pink Sweet Rosé Blend. It says that it is from premium grapes grown in California and that it dazzles with lip-smacking strawberry, succulent tropical fruit, and alluring floral notes. And Devin's just says that it has an aroma of red and white raspberry, blue plum, and vanilla. The palate is red cherry, red raspberry, and pomegranate juice, and that it goes well. And I feel like this is such a millennial thing. This is also what's in the picture on the website. It goes well with pepperoni pizza. So
it sounds like it should be tasty.
I don't even want to drink this. It smells so sweet.
Do it.
Yeah, that is a sweet. That's your a face. Ooh, that's sweet.
Let me crack this can open.
Oh, there's sound effects. Not even necessary. So when I poured it in the bottle, it definitely was a fizzy. It's a fizzy drink. And it tastes like strawberries.
Ooh.
Do you like it?
This is good.
After you just said that you didn't like any of
the wines. I haven't liked any of the other wines I've had from them. They have really like fancy stuff.
Does it say what the alcohol is on it, on the can anywhere? Because this one is not Sasha and Sheree proof, but that obviously makes sense because it's a rosé. It's only 9.5%, but we're also recording this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I don't need to get too drunk.
It says 12.8.
Oh, 12.8 in a can. That's not bad.
And I might finish this because it's good.
I am going to finish this because I poured it. But that's about it.
I could definitely see this with some pizza.
Does it?
Or you pepperoni pasta sauce. It does.
Cool.
I like it.
It's 100% Maryland grown.
It is.
And it's a natural wine fermented with
tobacco
on slave plantations. We talked about this last episode. But yeah, it says it's 100% Maryland grown natural wine fermented with wild yeast and canned without fining or filtration. I don't know what the fining is, but
yeah, I don't know. It says unfiltered on here though, so
that's cool. I've never, maybe I think we may have actually, I want to say maybe in season one or two, I think they sent us a bottle of their wine once, but I can't remember. I know we had a winery send us a bottle of wine.
Oh, I do kind of remember. It might have, I found this one.
Well, because I'm looking at the bottles on their website and it looks very familiar, but I don't know. The bottles look cute though.
Yeah, I like their art. It's very like whimsical kind of and vintage.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like the can. It's yummy, delicious.
Cool. I'm glad one of us likes our wine. So if you heard in the pre-roll about Swirl and Sip's statement about Roe v. Wade, that's what we're going to talk about today. And normally we don't talk about, I guess Sheree and I do somewhat get political. I mean, y'all know where we stand on stuff. But we don't necessarily talk about like current stuff. And I feel like for this season, we've actually touched on a couple of current things. We did the gun violence.
This has been crazy.
We did, Sheree and I talked about the slap heard around the world. And so we have been a little bit more current this season, but we wanted to talk about Roe v. Wade. One, I'm doing this with Devin because she has personalized lived experience with abortion. And because two, Swirl and Sip in general, if you guys follow us on Instagram, Sheree popped up and she never pops up on our social media. She popped up in a story to talk about women's right to choose. And as a show, I think we can, even with Devin, the three of us can say that we are very much pro-choice and believe in a woman's right or pregnant people's right to fundamentally decide what should happen with their bodies, what happens in medical decisions, and have that right to privacy. The caveat being, because I think people like to conflate the two, I'm confident in saying that Devin, Sheree, and I, none of us are pro-killing babies. Yeah. Because that's what people like to think when we say pro-choice. I can't tell you, I've never been in a situation where I've needed to think about having an abortion. So I don't know what my decision would be. But I also don't believe it's my choice, regardless of whatever I believe, to make that decision for any other person. So I think a lot of people may be individually pro-life, like they would personally never have an abortion. But it still doesn't take away people's their like rights to do what they want to do with their body.
Exactly.
So Devin is going to tell with us and share how when she was 16, she got pregnant.
Yeah. First I want to say, I think abortions definitely got a bad rap because
you're killing babies.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people that have had multiple abortions because they were loose and they choose it as a form of birth control, so to speak.
I feel like that's such a small
percentage
of people though.
Right. So I think the
counter argument is like that's everyone. Like everyone's using abortion as a means for birth control.
Exactly. And I think because that was so publicized or in the media, like that's what so many people think abortion is all about. But as we all know, and as everyone is listening, like there's medical needs for people to get abortions. There's, you know, people that are raped or, you know, victims of incest. Like there's so many.
Literally
reasons.
The story of the 10-year-old girl in Ohio. Their trigger laws in Ohio made it so that this 10-year-old child couldn't get an abortion and had to go to Indiana in order to get, she's 10 And she was 6 weeks pregnant. The trauma that this child probably faced while whatever was happening to her happened to her in order for her to even get pregnant. On top of that, having to sit in however long being pregnant, being told she can't abort her this fetus, because that's what it is, that she has to drive to, her parents have to take her to another state. Thankfully, I guess they had the means to do so, because not a lot of women don't have those means, but they had to take her to another state for this to happen to her. She's 10. She was 10.
Like, it should have been no question.
Her body probably couldn't even handle childbirth. Right. Like, let's be for real. Like, it probably would have been very unsafe for her at 10 to try to birth a baby. Because
childbirth is traumatic for any woman.
I mean, women
die. She's
not
even a woman. Exactly.
That poor she don't even have, like, childbearing hips at that age. Right. Like, your body is not set up to carry a child that young.
I don't even think I have boobs or anything at 10. Like, I cannot imagine. That poor
girl,
baby.
I didn't have shit at 16. Like, I didn't start getting my quote unquote woman body until I was like in my 20s.
Right.
So, but like, yeah, the abortion and the right to abortion, I think a lot of people, like you said, they think it's women who are quote unquote loose, which, by the way, like, go fuck whoever you want to fuck. Have fun. Right. Like, do you? Like, I think that's also slut shaming, because
it's 100%.
It's like women, the solution to not getting an abortion is for women not to have sex, like to close their legs and be celibate until, I guess, they marry.
Right.
But only a man, because most of the same people who don't believe in abortion also believe in only men and women getting married.
Touche. That is true.
That forbid is true. That you are, you know, non-binary, or you know, love the same sex people, then, you know, you can't never have sex. Like, that, right. It's also just that idea. But it's so much more than that. Like, there's a big portion of people who get abortions who are married.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They just have, you know, they weren't planning to have children or additional children, and they can't afford any more kids, or they're having, you know, whatever problems they may be having. They're even saying, you know, you can't abort babies when you know they're going to come into this world with a host of medical conditions.
So I saw an interview from way back in the 90s with Debbie Reynolds. I don't know if you know who she is. She's white actress. Yeah. She's older. But she said at the time she got pregnant, and it was very much a wanted child. It was during the time before Roe v. Wade. And so it was illegal, and her child didn't have a brain. And they could tell that this child did not have a brain. And she was forced to stay pregnant until, at such point, essentially she was walking around with a dead baby.
Dead baby. Yep.
And then at that point, then she still had to, like, it, like, her doctor had to, like, talk to, like, a board and make a, like, the board had to approve her getting abortion, because at this point it was now starting to harm her body.
Yeah.
Because you're walking around with a dead thing inside you. And she would still have to get questions on, oh, like, you're pregnant. Like, are you excited? What's the baby's name? Knowing she had a dead thing
dead
inside
baby.
Of her.
It's so traumatic.
And then, so she was able to, they were able to abort the baby then, but then she got pregnant another time, second time, same exact thing happened.
Really?
And the second time she said, I'm not walking around with a dead baby inside of me. Take it out.
Yeah.
And it was still illegal, but at that point, I guess because it had already happened to her once, she didn't have to argue as much with her doctors about it. And, like, that's the thing that people don't think about. Like, the trauma of carrying a wanted child.
Right.
Knowing that it's not going to live. Knowing that it's died inside you. And now, like, essentially it's a parasite in your body and can kill you because it's now decomposing. Yeah. Like, the idea that this child might be born and not have lungs, not have a brain, not have, like, essential organs, and is going to be born, and essentially the existence that it has before it actually dies will be so painful, so horrific for this baby that people want to be born. And, like, the more compassionate thing would be to, like, terminate the pregnancy.
Right, exactly. And then all these people that are so adamant about these babies being born are the same people that would turn their backs on these babies because they're not perfect.
Yeah, as soon as they're born, then it's like, oh, no, you're society's problem now. Like,
yeah.
And it's, but a lot of people, the main argument that it comes down to for a lot of these people is, you know, life begins at conception, right? Like that's their idea. I personally don't believe that. I think that's why it should be no one's business, because yes, if you are Christian, you're Catholic, that your religion teaches you when life begins. But that's yours. Like that's personal
your
thing.
Beliefs.
So if you believe that life begins at conception, then you don't have an abortion because that's what you believe. But like science has said, and I've seen this so many times, especially after in the week after like Roe v. Wade, like little like pictures of like what, you know, how babies look when they're like little, right? And so all these little pictures of like, oh, like, would you want to kill this or abort this? And people are like, no, that's a life. And they're like, no, this is a rhino. Like, you can't even tell that this is like, this isn't a baby.
A baby,
like, this
exactly.
Isn't a person. And the idea of even like 6-week heartbeat bills, that's not a heartbeat. Like, it's not a heart at that point. It's literally like electrical currents.
Exactly.
That are like sending signals. You, the fetus literally doesn't have a heart yet. Like, so it's not a heartbeat. Like, they give it for us to hear so that we could feel it. That's why you hear it. That's why it's like a shh and not like a boom, 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 boom. Like, it doesn't sound like that when you listen to it on a sonogram. It's literally, they call it a heartbeat for us so that, like, let's be for real. You and I have been pregnant. That's how you form connections with what's inside of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's going to be called a heartbeat. It's going to be called a baby when you want it, because they want you to want said thing inside of you. Science dictates that when it's first, the egg goes, you know, sperm goes into an egg, that's called a zygote. And then it turns into like an embryo. And then it's
science?
A fetus. Like that, the stages, it's not a baby until it's actually born.
Right. Exactly.
So why don't you tell us about when you were 16?
Okay,
you loose woman, you.
I know, right? Fucking slut. Yeah, basically. that's what one would think. So I got pregnant in 10th grade, which is crazy. And obviously I wasn't trying. I had a longtime boyfriend, 9th and 10th grade.
The consequences.
I know, right?
Sex, Devin.
9th and 10th grade. My first like actual real boyfriend, the first person I was like sexually active with.
That wasn't even good sex back then.
Right. Didn't know what the fuck I was doing. He was 2 years older than me. So he was senior, and then he was not. He had graduated. And things
like we're bordering on statutory rape here.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, he was 18. So things got bad between us. He started to get physical. So there was definitely domestic violence, and my shoulder got dislocated at one point. Like it was a bad situation. So I got pregnant. I didn't know what was wrong with me because, of course, I'm 16. I'm like pregnancy didn't even cross my mind.
Well, and at that age, like even our cycles then are like so all over the place. Like they
exactly.
haven't like settled down yet into what they're going to be. So it's hard to even tell.
So I think I just have some type of stomach bug or something.
Been 16 and pregnant. You could have.
Shut up. My dad takes me to the doctor because I think I have some type of stomach bug.
You had to tell your dad?
No. Luckily, I had the most amazing medical assistants. They were both actually teen moms. They have both actually been teen moms. So they were the ones like, I think we should give you a pregnancy test. And I was like, what? For what? Of course it comes back fucking
having sex. That's why.
Yeah. Of course it comes back positive, and I'm complete disbelief, but thank God I was in the room by myself. Cause my dad was like, I don't want to be back there. Like,
well, you're old enough at that point, 16, I think you're old enough to
exactly
not have your medical stuff disclosed.
Yeah, so they tell me I'm pregnant. I completely break down.
How did you go? Like, so you didn't tell your dad when you walked out of the room?
No. They.
How?
Let me tell you, these ladies were amazing.
I don't have a poker face. I would have.
I think I was just scared shitless. So my appointment was really long because a lot of it was just them getting me prepared. They actually...
Like, what the fuck is going on back there?
They actually, like, coached me through what to say because they were like, you know, you tell... Because I told them, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. So they actually, like, gave me medicine. They were like, do not fucking take this medicine. But they gave me medicine as if I was sick. We told my dad that I was sick. I don't remember exactly what we said, but we told him that I was sick. They say, you know, pretend to take this medicine. Do not fucking take this medicine. They kept saying that. And that was that.
How, do you remember at all, like, how far you were at that point? Did you know?
By that week, it was still very early. I got my abortion at 6 weeks. So I would say it was probably like really three. Early. Yeah, it was really early. So I told my then boyfriend. He was super excited. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? Like, he was super excited. He wanted to have the baby and everything. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I can't have a baby. I'm fucking 16. Like, my parents will kill me. Like, you have to help me take care of this. Like, at this point, once everything started settling in, I was like, you have to help me. Like, so then he ghosted me. Completely fucking disappeared.
Way to make you feel like this is a good decision.
Exactly. So then he ghosted me. After everything was said and done, he says he ghosted me because he didn't want me to have an abortion and he didn't agree with it. And he was thinking that maybe everything would just play out, whatever.
Yeah, leave me feeling single and that will make me really want to have a baby.
Definitely want to have your baby now.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm completely alone at this point because nobody knows. I don't want to tell anybody. So I'm freaking out. So finally, like after like a week of trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do, like at this point, I'm throwing up in school. I remember. Yeah, exactly. I remember distinctly sitting one day in history. No, it was... it was some math class, algebra, pre-calculus, I don't know, something. And I'm literally sitting at my desk, like, throwing up in my mouth because I didn't want anyone to know. Like, nasty as fuck, sorry. But I didn't want anybody to know. Like, I'm sitting there, like, with my head down, throwing up in my mouth because I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So at that point, I know, like, I need help. I need to tell someone. So that day, my mom's sitting in the house. She's sitting on the bed. And I was like, Mom, I have to tell you something. And I am fucking terrified.
I feel like every parent of a daughter at like 16, 17, 18, if your daughter comes to you and is like, I have to tell you something, your first thought is probably you're pregnant.
Yeah. So she's sitting there like just wide-eyed, like, what the fuck? And I couldn't get it out. So she's like, Devin, what? So then I just spit out, I'm pregnant. And she sat there for a minute. And then she got up. Like, she didn't say anything. She got up. And I think she about to beat the shit out of me or something. Because my mom was the police. So I thought she was going to beat the shit out of me. She goes and gets the phone book. This is the time of phone books.
Don't judge us, y'all. We're old.
Right. So then I think, I'm like, shit. She gonna beat me with the phone book because I know that don't leave a bruise.
The internet was just starting in our 10th grade.
See, so I couldn't even find options or anything. I couldn't even fucking Google
or anything. Then.
Exactly. So I had no nothing.
You would have had to go to the library.
Yeah, exactly. So she gets the phone book and I'm like, fuck, like my mom's the police. She's worked with like child abuse and stuff. I know you can beat the shit out of people with phone books and not leave marks. And she just sits down, opens up the phone book, and schedules me an appointment for an abortion. There was no conversation. There was no nothing. And I didn't know how to feel about it. But at the same time, I felt relieved that I, like, didn't have to make that decision. It's something that I struggled with as I grew up because I did kind of have some resentment, like it wasn't my decision.
Yeah.
But she held that secret. Like, I made her swear not to tell my dad. I think she did at some point, maybe, but he's never said anything to me about it ever. We've never spoke of it.
He knows now.
Yeah.
Whatever spiritual afterlife they're in.
Sorry, I promise Dad. He knows. But we never had a discussion. She took me to my appointment. I sat in a room of like five other women. They give you the pill to dilate your cervix.
You had to do all that?
Yeah.
See, this is how much I know. I like, in my mind, this, I'm like, oh, it's the, you get a pill. You just,
this is before that. That was very new. If it was even a thing, like I had to have, like
there's Plan B, which is
that was not a thing.
Plan B is I had sex within 72 hours ago. I don't want to get pregnant. Like, let me take this because kind of broke. I'm protected.
Yeah.
Dude's an asshole. I got raped type shit. Then there's like, I don't want to call them abortionophytics or however you say it, because I don't think that's a real thing. But they induce essentially a miscarriage. And that's like when you're early on, it's like passing a blood clot, essentially. Like
they basically sucked it out with a giant vacuum.
Really?
Yeah.
But it had, it was tiny.
It was. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it was abortions, I want to say, weren't as advanced.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, either the pill was relatively new or it was super expensive. I can't remember. But either way, I had to do the pill. I got really sick in the room. There were older ladies in there, and they were, I can still remember them being like, you're just a baby yourself. Like, and they were very nurturing because my mom couldn't come back in that room. Like, they just set us all back in this room to like dilate together, which was weird.
You gotta be by yourself.
Yeah. But they were very nurturing ladies, like, because it was really hard for me to have to do that myself, and painful because you're literally start cramping and contracting.
Dilating ain't like that. That shit is no joke.
No. So then I remember them calling me back into the room, and they hook you up, they put you in the stirrups and all of that, and they literally like sucked it out with a vacuum. Wow. And it was traumatic. It was sad, even though I knew if I had that baby with him, he probably would have killed me. Like, it was a real life domestic violence situation, and like controlling and all kinds of stuff, and having his baby would have just made it so much worse. So I know it was the right decision, but I also feel like I wasn't old enough to like weigh all of my options.
Yeah, I get. And that's the thing. Like, if you aren't even at 16 old enough to essentially comprehend what having a child is. So I gave birth at 31. I didn't even know what the fuck
you were getting into. Exactly.
Like, grown people have kids and are not prepared for it. Like,
exactly.
Richard and I wanted a baby. Like, Stokely, I don't want to say he was planned, but he wasn't an accident. Like,
exactly. He knew that
I went off the pill, and if I got pregnant, I got pregnant. Like, it was, we were going to have a baby. So he was a wanted baby. I still didn't know what the fuck I was doing when I had a baby.
Like, exactly.
I didn't know that, because this is my education of having kids, that when your water broke, it's continuously broken. Like, it's not like a splash of water that you see in the movies and then that's it. That it continuously will pump out fluid every time you have a contraction. I didn't know that shit. I was 31 years old. And I didn't realize that until I'm sitting in the car fucking up Richard's seat, because there's nothing under me but the leggings that I have on. And every time I have a contraction, it's just on that
coming
leather,
on out. Oh my God.
Like, to the point that I'm apologizing to him. Like, I'm so sorry for your seat. Like, you're going to have to wash this because fluids all over it. Literally, I'm standing at the desk while they're checking me in. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, but you might need a mop around here. And because I wasn't in pain or anything, she's like, okay, we're going to get you to a bed. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm literally dripping. Like,
sorry.
I was 31 and didn't know that.
Yeah. So I literally could not imagine if I had gone through with that pregnancy, what my life would have been like. Now, I did end up getting pregnant again at 19. And as a result, I have an almost 15-year-old. But I've also had two miscarriages.
Between them.
I had one. Yeah. I had a miscarriage after my abortion. And then I had another miscarriage, after Adrian, and I felt like it was cause I had ruined
your uterus,
my uterus with getting an abortion. But obviously that's not necessarily the case, but yeah. So anyway, I say all of this to say, like, it should 100% be your choice. Obviously I should have made better decisions as a teenager. And
I don't like the saying of you should have made better decisions, because especially like when we're that young, because we don't first of all, you're not cognitively all the way there decision-making wise until you're at least 18. So it's hard to understand the consequences of your decisions at that age. But unless you are like having a parent or someone at a school who's like telling you the realities of what it means to get pregnant, or telling you about STDs and like wear a condom, like especially a girl, like we play such an inactive role in that part that like we're not taught, you know, how to stand up for ourselves and tell boys to put condoms on, or
exactly
make sure they're wearing condoms and this is your boyfriend, so you're like, no, I love you, and like we're in the moment, and that rationality goes out the window, and it's like.
And I guess I should actually caveat that, well, if we did actually use condoms, so we did. I assume the condom broke or something like that. So it's not like we were trying to have a kid.
So you were doing the things the right way.
Yeah. So it happened.
I'm not going to tell anybody to say that, oh, at 16, you should have been having sex, because I was a little bit younger. And like, that's life. Like, that's the reality.
And I thought I was in love.
Like, the most sex when you're 10.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. There was a lot of sex going on. definitely. I mean,
when I was 16,
I thought I was in love. We were together for 2 years. He was older than me. So I would also say I was definitely impressionable.
Yeah.
And things might have gone differently if our situation was not toxic.
Yeah.
But we had already had a situation. Like I said, my shoulder had been dislocated.
How'd you not tell your parents about that?
My parents found out about that. My dad and my uncle tried to murder him, like dressed in all black, drove to his house, whole thing. And his dumbass actually came to my house to apologize. And again,
please leave. We're not doing this right now.
My dad tried to kill him. Yeah, it was a whole thing. So like I said, my mom being the police, she went and she did what she thought was best to protect me, to not quote unquote ruin my life and to get me out of that situation. And I'm glad she did.
At that age, and at any age, but especially 16 and in high school, having a child will fundamentally change your life.
For sure.
I mean, it does that when you're grown. But to, at such a young age, have a kid, you are still a child yourself. Yeah. To then have to try to raise another human being while still going to school, potentially going to college, trying to get a job, trying to find a place to live, like all of that becomes exponentially harder when you have another mouth to feed and you're not.
And at this point, I was on track to have like a totally different life. Like I was, you know, in honors classes. I was, you know, preparing to go to school to be a veterinarian, like all the things. And my mom was just like, you know, what the fuck? So we did talk about it many years later. Like it took us a while to get to the point to talk about it. And that's basically what she said. She said, I did not want you to ruin your life. I didn't want you to be in that violent, toxic situation anymore. Like, I've seen that. I've helped women like that. And I didn't want that for you. So,
I mean, even with Adrian, I mean, you've talked about his shitty father. Like, and so, but even 3 years later at 19, it was still hard.
I still wasn't ready. And yeah. I moved back in with my parents and I said I was going to live there for 6 months, ended up living there for 3 years because I wasn't ready. And I never would have been able, you know, to successfully raise my child at 19, 20 without the help of his father if it wasn't for my parents.
I read an article in the Post about an 18-year-old, a woman who right after Texas passed their 6-week ban, it was literally like 3 days after she found out she was pregnant.
Ugh.
And her boyfriend, they're in high school, they just graduated. Her boyfriend at the time, I think he was gonna go into the military and she had plans to do something else. And then of course she finds out she's pregnant and she didn't know what she wanted to do. I think she wanted to get an abortion, but of course in Texas she couldn't.
Right.
And Texas is fucking huge. So to get to where she could get an abortion, it would have taken a long time. She didn't have the means to do so. She ended up going to, I forget what they're actually called, but like family centers, places that, masquerade as, like they give you all of the information about abortions and keeping kids, but essentially try to pressure you into Yeah, into keeping your kid. And that's what they did. They, like she said in this article, oh, that's your baby's heartbeat. Like, they make you read all these brochures. They show you all the pictures of what aborted babies look like that aren't even really a thing. Yeah, and like they pressure this, you know, 18-year-old into feeling horrible.
Yeah.
And she ends up having this baby, and it ended up being twins.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And her whole life is now changed. The boyfriend, I don't think he wanted her to have the babies. He was worried, of course, that he wasn't going to be able to take care of these kids. What does that mean for his life? Now, he was going to go into the military, but then decided, I think, after that he didn't want to go into the military. So she couldn't, I think her mom kicked her out. So she ended up moving in with his dad, and the four of them are now in a room at his parents' house, his dad's house. She can't work because she has two babies.
Jesus
He's Christ. Working essentially around the clock to try to support her and these two babies, and they're 18.
That's crazy.
I think she wanted to go to like vet school or something like that. And like her whole trajectory on life changed. And she said, of course, with her kids being here now, she wouldn't say that she would have chose different. I think most women, it's
right. You still have that connection.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of women. I mean, I've read a lot of stories too, that from kids who say that, like, you know, they were the kid that their parent didn't have an abortion with, and that their parent definitely should have had the abortion. Like, right. their parent did not need to have a child.
Right.
Because it's resentment. They didn't want you there. Like, they were too young. Like, life was hard.
Now you've created another another fucked up human.
Yeah, and another cycle that has to be broken. Because babies raising babies means, like, poverty is a thing. Like, all of that becomes an even bigger issue. And it would be different if we lived in a country that said, if you have babies, these are the resources you have for your kids.
Right.
Like, you have free preschool and you can get free formula. And, like, actually birthing your child isn't going to cost $30,000 from a hospital. Like,
right.
All of those things. But there's none of that. Like, there's no safety net for the most part.
Even putting your baby up for adoption, nobody here is adopting kids here. They're going to foreign countries.
Yeah. Like,
so our foster cares and all of that stuff is so overrun.
Yeah. If the solution, because that's just have your baby and then put it up for adoption. But there's so many kids already in foster care. Like, if we had a system where there was literally none and every baby, every child was adopted, then okay. But then the argument also that I've heard, because a lot of people think it's all like, you don't want to have a kid. You still have to be pregnant.
Right. Like, and that's a whole thing in itself. Good God.
But adoption is a solution for not wanting to raise a child.
Right.
But it's not the solution for pregnancy, because we talked about, Sheree and I have done episodes about, like, maternal health care for Black women and people of color and the likelihood you have of having complications and dying and, like, having really bad pregnancies. Like, I know someone who I've never met in real life, but I follow her on Instagram. She got pregnant in her, I think, early 40s, maybe at 40. She had HG something. Essentially,
that's morning, throwing up all the time.
Morning sickness that lasts your entire pregnancy, but it's 10 times worse than morning sickness. She was literally sick her entire pregnancy, to the point where she did not want this baby, like, because that's how sick that she was. Like, she lost a lot of weight at the beginning of her pregnancy. She was throwing up all the time. Like, she was nauseous all the time. Like, it's a horrible thing to have, and it makes you not want to be pregnant. Like, and to the point where, and this was also, she wanted this kid, like, it's a, you know, child that she wanted. It makes you not want to be pregnant. It makes you resent the fact that this baby is inside of you. And 9 months, 10 months might not seem like a long time, but it's a long time. You don't feel good every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, and there's like all, and then there's just the fact that, you know, women are women, and the same way that men enjoy sex, women enjoy sex. That doesn't mean we want kids.
Kids, exactly. Exactly. And just like my situation, you can be doing everything you need to be doing, and it can still happen. Condoms are not foolproof.
They're not 100%.
Yeah, especially when you're young. Like, it could have been put on wrong. Like, there's no, who the fuck knows? But
you're better than I did, because me and my fast ass, I think I've talked about this before. I was 13. I was 13 when I lost my virginity. Super young. Like, probably should have waited. I really should have. And the first couple of times I had sex, there was condoms involved. And then I got with my boyfriend before Richard, and even Richard too, that when they were my boyfriend and they were my boyfriend long enough, my mom, I remember with my boyfriend before Richard, we tried to like go to Planned Parenthood so I could get put on the pill. Cause it was like, we were having a lot of sex. Cause I was 16, 15, 16, didn't want to get pregnant. It was like, that's not what we're trying to do, but we're not obviously going to stop doing this because we're teenagers and this feels good. So I tried to be responsible, go get the pill. I, for whatever reason, couldn't find, like, because again, Google Maps was not a thing.
Not a thing.
We had MapQuest directions and we were trying to figure out where it was, but couldn't see it. So we didn't end up going to Planned Parenthood. I told my cousin I was having sex, who then told my aunt. And essentially it was like, you have to tell your mom you're having sex or we're going to tell her. So, because my cousin had kids young. She was 16 and 18 when she had her kids. So she didn't want me to end up like her.
Right.
So I had to tell my mother having sex. My mother then put me on the pill starting at 16. Like, she took me to the doctor and was like, my mom was very much a realist. Like, I think it broke her heart that I was having sex so young, but she was also like, give her the pill, because I know that's what teenagers do.
Right.
So, but then when I started on the pill, because my boyfriend and I, we had been together for like a year at that point, we just didn't use anything.
Yeah.
So then it was just the pill.
Like, I'm good now.
And so luckily, you know me well enough to know how I am. I am methodical enough and the type of person who will take a pill every day.
Yeah.
At the same time, every day, in order for that shit to be effective. Like,
right.
So I've never had a pregnancy scare. And I didn't go off the pill until I got married at 30.
Damn.
29. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny. Not funny you say that, but the pregnancy before Adrian and Adrian, I was on birth control for both of those.
So you're doing what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. Because after I had my abortion, I was like, I don't want to have to go through this again. So I did get on the pill, and I was really good about taking it then, because I was scared at that point. I had been through that. I was like, I don't want to fucking do this again. I don't know what's going on with my reproductive
you're
system.
You're fertile.
Yeah, I'm very fertile. I got pregnant after the abortion. And like a few years later.
We've talked about this though. Like,
yeah.
And this is also something that most kids don't realize. I didn't know this until I was an adult. Like, you're extremely fertile after you are pregnant. Like, whether you give birth or not, your hormones are high enough where you're extreme. That's why you have Irish twins. Like, because
exactly.
It don't take much for you to get pregnant at that point.
Yeah. So that's why my husband has a vasectomy, because we know that, because I was on, same thing. I was after I had Adrian, I was on birth control the whole time. I was like, nope, I don't want any babies. I stopped birth control like right before our wedding. Mm-hmm. And I got pregnant on our honeymoon. So we were like very one and done, first time trying, we're good here. And he got a vasectomy.
It took me a couple of months, because I asked my doctor at the time, like, when I get off the pill, like, is it, because some people are like, it's going to take a long time. And she was like, no, like, your body pretty much will go right back to it.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I stopped it then, thinking it would take several months. No, it didn't.
I went off the pill. So we got married. I was 29. I turned 30. We got married in May. I turned 30. So I stayed on the pill until I turned 30, because I was like, I'm not getting pregnant before I turn 30, because I want to enjoy my 30th birthday. And we were in Greece for my 30th birthday. So literally while we were in Greece, I like went off the pill.
Yeah.
And I got pregnant in February.
Wow. Yeah.
So it took 4 months for me to get pregnant. And I was starting to be like, this is taking a while.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, since I had been on birth control literally for like 8-9 years since I had Adrian. I was like, it's probably going to take a little while to like get things back on track. But no, fucking stopped it. And the second I did,
I was like, oh, it's been like 4 months. Like, I wonder if we're going to get pregnant. Like, yeah, maybe we won't get pregnant. Because I have, of course, been reading, like, you know, it's not technically infertility until it's been a year.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do anything if you go 4 months and be like, I haven't got pregnant yet. They'll be like, you got to wait. Like,
right. Like, exactly.
You just haven't hit the right mark yet. And Rich and I were drunk. I can tell you exactly what day it was that we can see. So we were drunk. I had went to happy hour. He had been drinking. I was probably way more fucked up than that he was. But like, it took 4 months for me to get pregnant. But yeah. Again, like I was on the pill from 16 to 31 or 16 wow. to 30. I was on the pill.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have a kid. I didn't yeah. want my thing was I didn't want to be a statistic. I didn't. Right. I saw a documentary about Spanish Latinos in America. And it was like some 80-90% of Spanish women will have a kid by the time they're 21.
Wow.
Because of the culture in Spanish households of being essentially devout Catholics.
Yeah.
But yeah. also knowing that everyone's having sex young. So we're not going to give you the tools to
prevent it.
Not have a baby. But if you yeah. get pregnant, Jesus says you got to keep that baby.
Yeah.
You don't believe in abortion, but then you end up with 21-year-old, like my cousin was 18 and she had two kids. My other cousin was 18. She had two kids back to back. They're like literally a year apart. My other cousin had a kid at 20. Like all the women in my family had kids young. My mom is like the anomaly of it because even her sister got pregnant at 18. My mom was the only one who got pregnant in marriage and then like 5 years after she had been married. Like they... Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, yeah. And my mom got married young. She got married at 21. She didn't get pregnant till 25.
Wow.
Or 20. No, it was like 27 or something like that she got pregnant. So she was like, they planned for me and everything like that. And I think even still, I was like, oops, baby. Like I wasn't. But yeah, so I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be a statistic of I'm a Spanish woman who's having kids before I'm 21. Like I was like, no, I'm taking this pill every single day. And after my ex-boyfriend and then I got with Richard, all that was relied upon was this pill. That was
right.
it. There was no like, and they tell you, you're not supposed to do that, guys. Like if we have any young listeners, there's still such a thing as STDs.
So yes,
you're not supposed
are.
To solely rely on birth control. You should also like put a condom on because you don't get STD. But yeah, that was my way of not getting pregnant. And thankfully, like I never did get pregnant. But like I said before, I couldn't tell you what my decision would have been.
Yeah.
I think I've had this conversation with friends and it was like, well, if I was 16, if I was 17, would I have gotten an abortion? Probably. Like, yeah. I think so. If I was 22 with Richard, who I ended up marrying, would I have gotten an abortion? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't have been happy about it. Like,
Exactly. Like, I just wish America would realize, even when women do get abortions.
Nobody is like, I'm so excited to get this
exactly,
abortion.
Exactly. Like, there's a lot of turmoil, internal turmoil that comes along with making that decision. Like, I even know women now, like, in their 30s that have had to make the decision to get an abortion just because, you know, they accidentally got pregnant with their husband. Their spouse, but they either can't afford another baby, they have a baby that has issues, and they're just like, we want to be able to focus on this child, or we don't want to bring in another child with these issues. Like, there's so many reasons. Like,
yeah, that's why I mentioned at the beginning, like, there's a lot of married people who have abortions because of that. Kids are expensive.
Yeah.
And for a lot of families, having one kid is hard. Having two kids is hard. We are talking about families who are already struggling to afford and provide for the kids that they have. And then they get pregnant and they're trying to make the essentially responsible decision to care for the children that they have now instead
exactly.
of putting their family into poverty because now they won't be able to afford anything.
And what are you going to say? Don't have sex with your husband or wife?
Like, yeah. Well, you know what to do. It's all just, to me, it's all controlling women. Like, you can't, sex should never be pleasurable for women, only for men.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have baby, close your legs, which is bullshit. Because it's just sexist to me. It's patriarchal shit. Like, it's a way to control women, because if you get them pregnant young and you get them pregnant when they have to support, they have to rely on the support of other people, they aren't going to advance themselves. They will be okay with the status quo, like shit like that. Like, it's just a means to control women. And really, 100%. From what I've read about Roe v. Wade being overturned, is, you know, there's a lot of fear that come 2050, the Caucasian persuasion folks will no longer be in the majority.
Yep.
And so this is a way to increase the birth weight, the birth rates of the white population. Because Hispanic people, my people, just popping them out. We're still popping them out. So we Spanish people will over, like, we are already, I remember this happened in 2004. I was very excited about it. We became the largest majority in 2004. We are well on our way to overtaking white folks as the majority population, as our black women as well. Like, just the birth rates are higher between black and brown women. Yeah, our white women,
which will want y'all to take over the country.
Yeah, it'll fundamentally change the look,
everything
of the country, right? Yeah. What black and brown women or black and brown people who are the majority, and they don't want that to happen.
Can't have that.
So not only is it just the patriarchy, but it's also just like it's racism.
Yeah. Sounds about white.
So we know that it's a heavy topic. We know that there are many, many reasons why people believe what they do. And Devin and I, and I would even say Sheree and I, don't believe that you are free to believe what you want to believe, right? If you are pro-life and you do not want to have an abortion, that is your choice. Like, that is literally, that's
your
whole
uterus.
Point. That's the whole point, is that women should be allowed, for whatever their beliefs are, to have that choice, to not be forced to endure pregnancy, to endure the trauma that comes with pregnancy. Because regardless of whether you want a baby or not, pregnancy, child giving, childbirthing can be traumatic and life threatening. To not have to be forced into those things, where they can make the decisions that work best for them and their family. And it should be something that's between a person with a uterus, their doctor, and their partners.
Yeah.
Like that, like, your personal beliefs should have no bearing on how anyone else conducts their family planning, essentially. And so we know that, like I said, it's a heavy topic. People are going to feel how they feel. We wanted to do this show and talk about Devin's personal experience to kind of highlight that it's not always so cut and dry, and that there are decisions that are hard to make. And that, but as a podcast, as Thrill and Sip, Devin, Sheree, and I, we do stand with women, and we stand with people who can have babies and pregnant people, because we shouldn't be second class citizens as women. Like, the argument with Roe v. Wade was that one of the justices used was that it's not something that's a right that's in the Constitution. And I read or saw something on TikTok, is that what is people seem to forget about the Constitution is that the rights that are given in the Constitution are only ever rights that were given to non-white men.
Yep.
The rights that they have are always set in stone. But people of color, LGBTQ+, women have had to fight to add their rights to the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that says, like, you have the right to vote. Only that, like, people of color have the right to vote, that women have the right to vote. Nothing about white men. Right. And so trying to pin our rights as humans onto a document that's over 200 years old is kind of bullshit to me. But we shouldn't have our rights being dictated to us by old white people. Old white men and one younger crazy white woman. they shouldn't be able to take away our right to privacy in the ways that we conduct our lives. And so we just wanted to kind of talk about it and just bring awareness where we stand. I think it's important for people to know where the show stands, where we stand, and that we're advocates for women having their right to choose what they want to do with their lives. So we would love to hear conversations from you guys. You can always leave a message on Instagram at Swirl and Sip Podcast, or if you want to tell us a story about an abortion you've had and you want it to be more anonymous and you just want to share, you can do so and email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you like, rate, review, subscribe to the show on all of your major podcast platforms. The rating and the viewing definitely helps other people find the show. I also just want to throw out that we are, of course, a member of the Balanced Audio Podcast Network, and we have a host of other women-led shows who support and uplift the voices of other of women and women of color and those in the marginalized community. So I encourage you to check all of those out. Devin and I are actually co-owners of that network, and we are up to 15 shows on the network, so we're excited about that. And I guess until our next episode, which will be our last episode with Sheree and I, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready.
Bye.
Part of the Boundless Audio Podcast Network.